Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a 5-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. There are some things we can only see when we're not looking directly at them. They vanish the moment we try to name them too clearly, like a thought just before sleep, or a dream you can still feel but can't quite remember upon waking. Today's word not only lives there, it was in that ethereal place between dream and daylight that it was conjured, or should I say more accurately, smooshed together by our fair uncle. It belongs to the night, but not to darkness, to light, but only borrowed light. Uncle Will places it in a world where lovers are confused, identities are unstable, and reality itself seems to be, well, negotiable. It is in the enchanted forest of William's A Midsummer Night's Dream that we first cast our gaze upon moonbeams. By Act III, our fair uncle has already established the rules of his play. Lovers flee Athens, fairies meddle freely, and nothing with a pulse is paired correctly. The king and queen of the fairies, Oberon and Titania, are in mid-domestic dispute. A love potion is being applied with all the care of a tempestuous toddler, and the mechanicals, a roving acting troupe, have wandered into the forest to rehearse a tragedy. All that remains is for the fairy queen to wake up, look around, and fall head over heels in love with a man who has just been magically issued with a donkey's head. She summons her fairies to attend on her new mule mate.
Peas blossom, cobweb, moth, and mustard seed.
Ready?
And I.
And I.
And I.
Where shall we go?
Be kind and courteous to this gentleman. Hop in his walks and gamble in his eyes. Feed him with apricocks and dewberries, with purple grapes, green figs and mulberries. The honey bags steal from the humble bees, and for night tapers crop their waxen thighs and light them at the fiery glowworm's eyes to have my love to bed and to arise. And pluck the wings from painted butterflies to fan the moonbeams from his sleeping eyes.
Here Uncle Will takes two ordinary words, moon and beam, and fuses them into something new. Not moonlight, not moonshine, not even a moon shadow, Mr. Cat Stevens, but a moonbeam. A beam suggests direction, intention, something active. By naming it, William gives it agency. Moonbeams can now be fanned, moved, disturbed, as though light itself were a character in the play. There is no deep Latin root here, no borrowed Greek or Proto-Germanic nonsense. It is the dustbin of languages doing what English does best, borrowing, meddling, and making poetry by combination. After Will's dream, Moonbeam drifts outward into romantic poetry, Victorian sentiment, children's literature, fantasy, and song titles, becoming shorthand for a beauty that cannot be held, something seen, something felt, something gone by morning. This was beautifully used 302 years later across the English Channel in Edmond Rostand's 1897 tale of Cyrano de Bergerac, where at the end, the mortally wounded Cyrano says to Roxanne, "Pardon, I cannot stay. My moonbeam comes to carry me away. He, too, would be gone by morning." Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.